not a guest preacher. He's part of Shadow Baptist Church. And his beautiful wife and daughter sitting, just looking up and praying that the Holy Spirit will lead her husband this morning to say, "Thus said the Lord." Again, on behalf of the pastor and the congregation, we just want to say, Reverend Parker, this is God's pulpit. Let the Spirit of God use you, that you will reach out to broken hearts, to hearts that are now hurting and waiting to hear God's word. Tears are in eyes and they want to hear the word of God that they may have peace and live for Yahweh hope. We pray that as you assemble God's people, let the Lord speak through you. Shadow, let us just raise our right hands and say, Reverend Barker, may God bless you.
May God bless you.
As you say, thus said the Lord.
God's
people. Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
The spirit is high in here today. Do you feel the Lord?
Yes.
Do you feel the spirit of the Lord?
Yes.
Did you come here happy?
Yes.
In Jesus?
Yes.
Let me ask again. Did you come here happy?
Yes.
In Jesus?
Yes.
You could have been anywhere else.
Yes.
But God directed your footsteps to come into this place, this holy sanctuary, on this day, not yesterday, this day, right now. You'd rather be where? Right here. Everybody said for me, say,
I'd rather be
right here.
Right here.
Now say it like you mean it.
I'd rather be
right here. How many of you know that there's a little twist with the word rather? How many of you know there's an adverbial thing about this little adverbial thing called rather? That's what we're going to talk about today. Can you just play praise him, Aaron? You know I can't come in here without saying. We came in here to worship. And those who don't know the Lord, if you came through these doors today, you came to praise and worship the Lord. For the things that happened in the weeks that's gone by, same choir, praise him.
Praise
Let the voices of the angels hear you today. Praise him. Praise him, Lord.
Praise.
You can lift the holy hands if you like. Jesus.
Jesus.
Blessed Savior.
Blessed Savior.
Praise. the word of God. And I'm going to try my best to do my best to get through this really quickly. I don't believe in tarrying too long. Because it's about this table. God is able. Because of the cross. And for those of us who believe, this table. He's worthy today. And I just so thankful that you celebrate the spirit of a living God with me today when so much is going on. Pastor Armstrong in his absence, God bless him. Mr. Weaver. And I'm going to say something else, equally important. He knows how I am. I'm a hard guy. He called me from Liberia, and we argued for 2 hours. He said, I want you to preach. And I said, no, I'm not. You got plenty of folks to preach. No, I'm talking about you. My wife said, why would you treat him that way? We just have this love affair. Because you know what? We had to get down to some other business. Why? Because I want to know how he's doing. And I want to know how his family's doing. And every time we talk about Pastor Armstrong, we're talking about those two little babies.
Amen. Amen.
And the mother.
That's right.
Me and my wife went that night he was leaving. The same with Mr. Weaver. The same with anyone in here. The mothers.
That's right.
That are directing the path of these children.
Thank you, Father.
Deacon and Ms. Poole. We were over at the Martins. We can't do anything without our families.
Thank you, Father.
And mothers, some of you are doing your best.
Do it.
By the grace of God.
Grace of God.
Because Jesus and God are mother and father. The characteristics of all that. And we cannot leave that off. So while I'm praying for Reverend Armstrong and Brother Weaver, I'm praying equally so for First Lady Mrs. Armstrong.
Amen.
And those two babies.
Amen.
Mrs. Weaver. And that little boy and the sister that I heard come over here and speak the other week so diligently. Because it takes a village, one says, to raise a family. And all of this takes something to raise a village. But my question was, well, who raises the village? Everybody I know from Hillary Clinton, everybody was using that cliche that we use in conjunction with the motherland. But my question in living in those lands is that who raises the village? We got many spokespeople in here that are trying to raise the village, but they're doing it by the grace of God. And we've walked together as a family. He had asked me to preach on Ephesians. And first he told me, you do what you want to do. Then I made the mistake and asked him, well, what you want me to do? And after he told me what to do, I decided to do what he said the first time, do my own thing. So we're going to read 84. But I say my prayer in all earnest that I'm glad for the invitation. Half of these families, and most of all the Shallow Baptist Church family. That's a gift. I don't take it for granted or light. Psalm 84. That's where we're going. Psalm. Y'all are really paying attention. Now, what did I say first?
Ephesians.
I said Psalm 84 because y'all repeated it, and I thought I made a mistake. Here we go. Y'all are really alert today, so I'm in trouble. How lovely is your dwelling place? I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And right after I leave here, I thank God for my wife and my daughter. They are my church. And the other two children that we went down to see that's practicing and doing things in Maryland. And my daughter-in-law, my son, and my other daughter. But I have to always acknowledge my wife and my daughter. I thank God for them. They got up early this morning to support me. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts? My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highway designed. As they go through the valley of Baca, They make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day, everybody say, for a day. In your courts, say it again, in your courts, is better than a thousand elsewhere. Now here's where we're going to play games here. We're going to all say this with me now. I would rather, say it. Say it now like you're speaking French and everything and put the focus and the accent on rather. I would rather. Yeah, that's it. Be a doorkeeper. In the house of my God.
In the house of my God.
Then live in the tents.
Then live in the tents.
Of wickedness.
Of wickedness.
Thank you,
Lord. Lord, we thank you for this word. Bow for a word of prayer. God, we thank you this morning. Move me out of the way. This is not for show. But it certainly is a word for deliverance. So we can go out of here and tell somebody else.
Yes, sir.
How good God is.
Absolutely.
So Lord, bless me at this point. Bless this congregation to bless me, Lord. That's why I touch them while I walk out here, God, to be filled because they bring it into your house. And I ask that the Holy Spirit, since you're already here, enliven us,
yes,
to do ministry.
Yes.
To understand our purpose, as Pastor Armstrong wants. To go out and touch somebody's life. In Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The church say amen. You can have your seat. And I'll be on my way here. The Vice President of Technology. Who can cut this thing off? That's why I have my daughter, a 13-year-old. She keeps me with technology. Now, Shiloh, I might have you involved a little bit. But I'll put these back down. So I can see you. I like my old one. But all over the world, Shiloh, people are making choices right now to change their lives. And we too need to make decisions about which direction we're going in to determine our purpose, as Reverend Armstrong is carrying us through, in life as people of God. All over the world. I even heard that the football players, everybody's having, there are all kind of things that are going up right now where God is asking people to come in mediation. I've told Reverend Armstrong, I've told Reverend Dr. Luke Pyra, I've told Reverend Dr. Kenyatta Gilbert, all of these fellas, Dr. LaRue, there's something that Calvin didn't cover for me that is a lot of my faith and indicative of the Trinity. And everybody keeps saying, why don't you write it? I keep trying to get them to write it. I said, you can just put a little footnote for me. But that is Christ as mediator. See, when I think of Dr. King, even when I think of Mother Teresa, when I think of some of the people that sit in your congregation, it's the person that brings it to the bullet, the same way Christ brought it to the cross, because we believe in a risen Savior. The Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all one but independent personas. Christ as mediator. They talk about Christ as king, priest, and all the various, but no one's ever said Christ as mediator. And that's a gift of ministry.
All right.
That's a gift of pastoral care. A person who's going to speak with passion, knowing that it brings it right to the bullet, right to the nail, right to the blood of Jesus, right to the cross. And it becomes righteous, justice, equal, and what's right for the people of humanity. All people. And so when I talk about this now, the world, and I said this is a year of transformation. I told people. God's going to cleanse some things. And when you cleanse, you break down first before you build up. So you got to understand. And you better know that you know that you know, like my grandmama would say, what you're about and what you should be about. What's your purpose? But the problem is that some of us are all confused about the question. See, I told Pastor, I said, I would love to go ahead and continue with the purpose, but it dawned on me. Maybe some of us didn't hear the question. Let me give you an example. There was a little joke. See, they that I was told that we're like the little old lady who had been singing in the choir for over 50 years. And choir folks, y'all probably heard this one. And she would ask, Sister Joan, given this is our 50th choir anniversary, and you're our oldest member, will you tell us which three hymns you'd rather we sing? Will you do that? And like most little old sweet ladies in the church, she said, sure will. She flipped through the hymnal a few pages, shook her head. Then she looked around at the choir. And then she began to smile. She smiled at the members one by one. She winked at one or two of them. And then she said, all right, I want him, him, and Lord knows I want him. Some of us will say yes to anything but the will of God. Some of us have messed the question up so bad, and we out there trying to deliver an answer. You can't work with purpose until you understand the question and why it's being asked, and understand the value of why you need it. So I'd rather be. I don't know why you came today. I can make an assumption because we're in church. But I'd rather be here today. See, this title used to be called Shut In, Shut Up, and Shut Out. But today is I'd rather be here because it's Communion Sunday and I did some more research. So God will give you a different angle every time you look at the text. Don't count it given when it's over. Oh, you can take some stuff. It's like good old gravy. My mother used to take turkey and we ate everything for turkey. For 1 month, we had breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Turkey turned into so much stuff, I never even knew a turkey could produce breakfast. And here's the question for me. Would you rather be on the outside looking in on any given situation, or would you rather be on the inside looking out? Is that a question? You see, when you're looking at a situation from the inside, some folks feel secure and safe. So say that they even throw their 2 cents worth in into pot just to stir up some mess in order to not feel left out. They can get busy from the inside out. They don't have to worry about anything being on the inside because they have the latest scoop. But on the other hand, when you're looking at the same situation from the outside, looking in, you may feel a little left out, right? But unlike one on the inside, you may feel free of someone else's mess or problem. Some of the people on the outside are free from some of our mess or problems. And you are free from that, and you're free to run rather than be shut in a situation to hold and told to be shut up about it. And eventually get yourself shut out. And sometimes you're completely shut off from the circumstances. That's what we do in church. That's what we do outside too. That's what we do in the office. So where would you rather be on the matter? On the outside or the inside? What if I told you, saints, that whether you are on the outside or the inside, looking in or out, you still will experience difficulty, mess, problems, confusion, and much misunderstanding as you journey on life's highway? Let me break it down a little clearer. You see, when we were little children, I don't know if I told y'all that, we had a dog. Did I tell y'all about my dog? All right. Who could tell from your walk, and he must have been a Christian dog. He can tell from your walk and the loudness and the bad words that came from your talk that you have been drinking and was drunk from the spirits of the night. My dog knew that when you hit our street. And once he detected this kind of walk that you would have that sways a little bit and the talk, he would let you know that he was the gatekeeper on the inside of that street looking out for the people who dwell therein. He let you know that. But the real problem was that instead of being a dog with all bark and no bite, he was the opposite. He would enforce his rule by chasing you away And if you seem to tarry too long and could not get out of his way, you were sure to get nipped in the rear all the way off the street. But on this evening, after having been chased and bitten by the dog, the two drunkards began to argue about who woke the dog up in the first place. And we were little kids on the second floor. We was out looking out the window. We heard all the noise, but by that time they had the pants down. They were looking. My mother sewed up more pants for people coming to the door in their underwear and some ashy legs, holding pants, saying, "You're going to have to do something. Y'all pay me, my mother, so we can sew them up. That's about the best we can do. The dog is doing his job. Y'all need to clean this stuff up." But they were arguing about who woke him up. And as they were looking at their behinds through their pants, arguing with each other, while we were up at the window laughing on the inside, looking out, all of a sudden we heard, it came from behind. And a voice said, "It takes more time for you to mind your business on the inside than it does for you to tend to the business of someone else on the outside of the street. Close that shade. Keep the eyes in here before someone throws something in here." That was my mama's rule to us. So I don't look outside my window no more. Now, wounded, we all, you know, the laughter for us stopped on the inside looking out. We had been slapped with despair, especially when the men began to point at us from the outside, laughing at our crying from the slaps from the window, because the screen was up. You know, when it's hot, you ain't had no air conditioning down there. They heard what took place on the inside of the house. On the inside looking out, on the outside looking in. That's the situation of the psalmist today that's going up to the temple. Do you hear where I'm coming from? See, this psalm might be grouped as a subcategory of psalms of praise. Now, I have to teach a little bit. Y'all forgive me. But otherwise, you won't have the word. There are two types of psalm known as the enthronement psalm and the songs of Zion. And Psalm 84 is the song of Zion, which focuses praise on the city of Jerusalem. Now, often associated with pilgrimage to the city, it is noted as the most expressive and beautiful of all the songs of Zion. Okay? Thought to have been recited or sung by pilgrims as they made their way walking towards Jerusalem. See, folks, those folks were excited like you were this morning. They were enthusiastic. And that's why throughout this little psalm, when you read it, they were happy in just seeing the temple. How many of you get so happy just to see the church after a bad week? How many of you know that when you see the house of God, you know that you're getting ready to get renewed in your strength? And so you ought to have joy, because the joy of the Lord should be your strength. How about you today? Are you happy? Were you happy? Are you excited and enthusiastic about coming into and now being in the house of the Lord? If you should, you ought to give God the highest praise for waking you up this morning, starting you on your way. See, beloved, they were happy because they knew that God was their refuge and strength in a time of trouble. They were happy because they knew that God bestows strength to those traveling. And because of this, they wanted to be near. No, I'm going to say it like my grandma. They wanted to be nearer my God to thee. And while in this text, the psalmist talks about being a doorkeeper, we might keep in mind that doorkeeper probably does not just refer to the office of the description of doorkeeper. Huh? Be careful. You see it in 2 Kings 12, 9. But rather, here's that word again, it could also refer to anyone who dares to be so excited to wait in a long line to enter into his gates, the temple gates, where you're not even in the courtyard. Read it. You're not even inside the building yet. You're just happy to be protected in the gate. Jesus is a gatekeeper. It doesn't mean that I gotta get to the front pew. It doesn't mean that I have to have a special seat somewhere or be boarded off, but I'm happy in Jesus just to see the house of the Lord and be inside the gates. This means that I haven't even gotten to the door. I'm in the courtyard inside the gate. Why? Because it's full. So why would I be so high and so happy standing here? Why? Because like we long to be in the presence of Almighty God, this particular person in this song wanted to do the same. So this psalmist was longing for a communion with God and the experience of well-being that results from encountering a living God, church. That's what he was looking for, or she was looking for. So when we come to the church, we come to profess that our lives are not our own, but rather they are lived under the sovereign claim of God. When you come into this place, when we come to church, we also profess that as far as we are powerful people, whoever we are, our strength derives not from ourselves, but rather it comes from the joy of the Lord, which shall be my strength. Now when we come into his presence, church, we come to profess our worthiness. And so far as we have any, if at all, it's derived not from what we managed to accomplish on our own, but rather what God has bestowed upon us, acknowledging that we've simply been blessed by the best. How many of you have been blessed by the best this morning? In Jesus. We come into this sacred place professing that happiness or joy is not our ceaseless pursuit of material things or commercial culture promotes, but rather entrusting our lives and future in the richness of the Almighty King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When we come into this place, we come into this house, even on this first Sunday of March, as we regularly come on the first Sunday, knowing that what forms the centerpiece of any real house is a table. But for us, this is the Lord's table today, where we eat and drink with one another as a sign of our belonging at the Lord's table, where we are not only remembering him, but we are re-membered. That means you as members, you are redone all over again, being reborn all over again when you take this cup. You are remembered. As we profess to receive the strength that's derived from our Lord God Almighty in Jesus. And let me go right to Psalm 84. And I might reenact what happened on that day. It's been a favorite. Remember, it's the most expressive poem of joy of the psalmist, who can't wait to travel to come into the presence of the Lord by entering the gates of the holy sanctuary. We learn that this person might have journeyed and made his way to the temple of ceremony of tabernacles, mumbling how he yearns to be with God, the giver of life. So much that he, like Jeremiah, when he gets in there, so excited, shouts out joy that to worship only one day on the inside of the temple in the presence of God would be worth more than 1,000 years. That's powerful. On the outside of the streets. It's worth more than one day just to be on the inside of the gates. We don't know what happens when we leave here. That's why we're praying for Reverend Armstrong and their family. We don't know. It's worth one day to know that I'm happy in Jesus. And I can have eternal life for right now and in the hereafter. Because I just keep praising him. I just want to worship him. I want to renew my strength in whatever hit me during the week, children. I want to renew my faith. In the seen and the unseen. That's hope. I was not there, church, but I like to think that this man went a bit further and began to show off by asking somebody, he couldn't get in. Can I have a seat up near my God? The one all the way up close near the altar. Can you just seat me, in the corner, in the closest pew as a worshiper in this crowd? For I've journeyed a long way. There are many mothers that have journeyed a long way in here in the heat of the day to be in the presence of God. I traveled in the heat of the day through the dry valley of Baca to get there. That was a dry area. I'm a little dusty and I'm a little tired. Somebody said, hold my mule. I'm a little dusty. I'm a little tired, but now that I'm here, even on the outside of the doorway looking in, my soul is being refreshed and renewed just thinking about how I made it over. How many of you have done that? You ought to be refreshed today, feeling safe in these seats, knowing that your soul has made it over because the Lord has been so good to me. I can see that testimony today. I'm being strengthened, church, by knowing that God, my granddaddy would say, is with me. You can do whatever you want. There's no principality. There's nothing, but God is with me. Emmanuel, so tell me. See, I can't see too good, little fella. But are those seats with the red tag reserved? Can I get there? I see, I got it. I can't go there either. There's no place for me up here. Oh, let me clean it up. No place for me up in here. Oh, I'm used to that. So just put me with the choir in the loft. You've seen people, when it's full, just put me with the choir. I've been there before too, that's what he's saying. Where I come from, we were singers in David's court. I'm in the word. When the ark was put to rest, as Solomon was building the temple. What? Now you're telling me that's too full too. I see. So there's no place for me. There's no room. Even the Jesus that I serve, even though this is Old Testament, for us in the New Testament, there was no room in the end. But I might want to do what? What did they tell Mary? Go back. Nothing here. He said, go back where? Oh, no, you got me wrong, brother. You see, you're young. You obviously don't know who you're talking to. Let me take off my cloak a while. Like, that's why the lady said, hold my mule. When that starts happening, something's about to happen up in there. Okay? Let me take my cloak off. Jane Pittman, excuse me, let me squeeze up in here with him at the door, the one who's telling me all this. And see, I told you that David used my priestly people way back as early as I can remember. And we were Levitical Korahites, active in both, you got to understand the faith here, young man, in both pre-exilic and post-exilic time. You see, we held our own, never becoming priests of the altar. Rather, we kept the temple. We led the worship. We were guardians of the sacred tradition. Somebody got to dress all this stuff in here. Somebody got to usher up in here. We were the gatekeepers. Check out Chronicles 9, 17 through 20. Yes, in charge of the work of the services. That's the people of God in service to the Lord. From the choir to the guardianship of the threshold like this one you stand on. And I'm standing tonight. I'm standing right here today even. On the promises of that same God that my folks serve, and I still continue to serve, and will serve him until I die. See, young man, as a minister of the Lord's house charged with a duty to serve, I'm God's humble servant. I don't have to be so high and mighty that I don't know that I can see the Lord's face walking the streets that need some food when they're hungry. I don't need to be so high that I can't understand that just like me, the Lord cleaned my life up and put me into the service of his courtyard. I'm an humble servant of the Lord. Perhaps God's porter, like somewhere on the railroad. Do you know what I'm talking about? And although this work could be done by those more qualified than I'm here to tell you that I chose to stand at this threshold. I chose that. This gate, this door. If I cannot be a priest like my ancestors or a worshiper, or single like my answer, I'll be God's warrior. And I'll stand right now on the promises of the God. You can't deny me anything that's so good in the Lord. See, because I'm going to stand on the promise. And I'm going to stand right here on this battlefield tonight. You're going to test me. You're going to try me. See what you're going to get. Because I'm trusting in the Lord to fulfill his work in me. How many of you know that you're a vessel of the Lord this morning? When you came through these doors, you're trying to determine your purpose in life. How can you use me, Lord, till you use me up? And no, I will not be shut off. He said, and no, I will not be quiet. You know, some folk can't hold a peace and shut up. And I'm surely not going to be shut out from serving the God. I hope that's your witness today. You're not here to be shut out from serving the God. See, she said, that's when she said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper or a beggar at the temple gates. Or an ordinary person standing here in the gap for the Lord than in the tents of wickedness. That's what this person was saying. For God is my sun and shield. Read a little more further. The Lord is my light and my salvation. So let me tell you right now, young man, whom shall I fear? You see, it brings us up to date today. You see, there's a little adverbial word called rather. And that word gives me a choice. That's the power of it. It means that I choose, I prefer, and more correctly or properly speak, it clarifies the situation so you can't make no mistake about it. I've decided, to follow who?
Jesus.
Amen. Now, like I decided, but see, let me go again. Like I'd rather have Jesus than what? Silver and gold. This man wanted to be a doorkeeper at the humblest position. He wanted to be on the inside, not be shut out. And today I beg to ask again, where would you rather be? Can you say I'd rather be a gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, the porter like the Korahite, the usher? Most of us think of one definition of an usher, a person who escorts one to their seats in church or theater. But an usher is something else too. An usher is a person who walks before a person of rank like God Almighty. An usher is also a doorkeeper, one who conducts one to a place, one who serves as a forerunner, a harbinger, or a preparer of some place. Thank God, church, I know of an usher today who's more than just a doorkeeper. I know of an usher of all ushers who's both door and doorkeeper, gate and gatekeeper, restorer and preparer, and keeper of my soul, and that's Jesus Christ. You ought to say hallelujah if you can witness to that. I know of an usher who's a forerunner for my soul, my life, and my salvation in God. One like the psalmist, who couldn't be shut up in the face of Pilate. Shut up nor shut in the dark tomb of death. Not my usher. But I know one who instead got up on the third day with all power in his hand. And his name is Jesus. Say Jesus in here. That's my usher, G, the Son of God, Jesus, who can't be shut in, shut up, and not even shut out. And when the door of my heart is heavy, let me bring it home now. And my body, my soul feels all dried up like backer out from the problems of this life and this old world. Church, I long to be with God through Jesus Christ because Jesus is the way. When you get dried up in the school, children, when you get dried up on the job, people, when you get dried up with the foreclosures and the mortgages and the sickness, open your heart to God in Jesus. Because John 14 tells me that Jesus said, don't let my heart be troubled. Believe in God and also in him. And in his Father's house, there are many dwelling places in that house. And if it were not so, he wouldn't have told me so. And so therefore, I'm standing on the promises of God. You know what it's like when Jesus made a promise? He rose up, didn't he? He went up, didn't he? He's still delivering it, isn't he? You're still being blessed, aren't you? You ought to say amen and hallelujah, giving the highest praise. If it were not so, he said, I wouldn't have told you so. He told me that he went ahead of me to prepare a place for me. That's what Jesus said. And he said he will come again to me. And if I love him and follow him, I should know the way. So I can't be like Doubting Thomas, church. You can't be like Doubting Thomas. You better know who you are and where you're going. My Jesus will tell you that. That's why you came in here this morning. He said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? No one come to the Father except through the who? All right. And all I have to do is do what? Knock. And the door shall be opened. How many of you knocked when there was no food on the counter? And it seemed like the Lord just poured you out a blessing. How many were you thirsty? And even when you didn't find water, you opened that Bible and read something that seemed like God just fleshed your spirit out. How many of you had that? You ought to just testify and say hallelujah. He also promised that if I believe in him and do the works he did, that's why we're witness, and why we should be at work, for the night is coming. Anything I ask in his precious name, he will do it. Further, he said, if I love him with all my heart and soul, that he would ask the Father during my weary time. Even when I can't get up. You know, I've seen people who are on the bed sick. They can't say a word. They'll tell you, the song says, I just wave my hand. He said, even in your weary times, because he knows your heart, if you just ask, he will ask the Father to send the Spirit of truth to you for understanding. And it's one that the world cannot receive because it does not see him or does not know him. And that's why you can't be on the outside. But you got to bring it to the outside. You can't sit in here. You got to go out like the woman at the well, and bring in the Spirit of the Lord. I will know this Spirit because He abides in me. Is the Lord abiding in you today? You ought to raise your hand. If you want the Lord to abide, you still raise your hand. That's why you came through the door. That's why you're in His courtyard today, in His presence. That's the gospel. That's good news. See, if I want to be saved and safe from sin, I'd rather be that doorkeeper today. Believing in John 10:7-9, which says Jesus is the door and the gateway to salvation. Saints, when I think the door of life is closed by frustration sometimes for me, even in my job, when I'm perplexed, like Corinthians said, on every side, being the only one, thinking that the rusty hinges of time have closed the door and shut out the grace of my God for me, I'm so weary. Then Jesus, the one I serve, listens to me and say, "Humble thyself. Keep watch even until I come again over my flock. From the altar to the threshold of even the door, to the hearts of my people. Behold where I go and where you go, I am there also." How many of you know the Lord is with you this morning? And He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice, open the door." Some of y'all know you need to be yoked by the Spirit. You know that the Lord is calling you. Sometimes we just wait too late. And God is just tugging at us with these problems that we have. The world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. You need the joy of the Lord, which needs to be your strength. He said, "I'll give you a place around my throne. For I am the porter, I'm the potter too, for you broken vessels. I'm the truth, I'm the way. Don't shut me out of your heart today." The Lord is saying, the key to this is prayer. That'll answer your tears. One deacons, Mr. Chairman. The key to this is trust. Trust and obey. There is no other way. That's why you came in these doors today. And He said, "Believe in me as the Father did to reconcile you by sending me Jesus for your salvation." So on that cross today, we bless the name of Jesus up in here today, and we got more praises to send up. Because the blessings have already come down, and you are to say hallelujah. And so I only stop by today to say, I'd rather. Everybody say rather. Because I don't want you to forget this one. When Reverend Armstrong come back, you'll say, we understand. Even if you don't know but one word. My granddad couldn't get all the word, but he'll have one word. And I learned everything I know, even on how to read people. Their spirit from him. I can look at your shoes, tell you who you are, where you came from. I'm leaving. My wife is in my corner to go back home now because the screen ready to blow up in that town. That's something I left years ago when it did bomb things. And I left and I was asked to come back. The same thing happened in Rwanda. I didn't know what was going on, but who would ever say that I'd be the one to call USAID to Rwanda in 1992-4. Same thing at the seminary with issues of race. Everywhere I've been, I tried to hide. That's the mediating spirit of Christ. You're doing the same thing every day when you're trying to struggle to put food on your table. That's the mediating spirit of Christ Jesus. The Lord will bring us to our knees where sometimes we can't define our purpose. We can't always see our way. But if we turn it over to Jesus and lay it at the foot of the cross, He said, "I'll bear your burdens. My yoke is what? It's what?" He didn't say hard like you have it. He said, "It's what?" So why are y'all struggling? If you're able, stand to your feet and be blessed. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. I want to thank the ministers in this roster. And I turn this pulpit over to them. May God forever bless you in your need. And if you're feeling the tug, you don't know what your purpose is in life, you need to walk. You need to get closer. See, we're not blocking anything here. And let the Lord bless you. Turn turn some of this mess over, young people. Let the Lord bless you in here. The Spirit is here high today. He'll meet you. May God forever bless you all. Amen.